Indiana. Welcome to the Crossroads Sports Radio Show, presented by Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Crossroads Sports Radio. We are back in the saddle after a week of technical difficulties on Blog Talk Radio's part, but we are back. Crossroads Sports Radio, it is Wednesday, October 9th. I'm your host, Brandon Reif, joined once again by my co-host, Jonathan Pertzog. JB, how are you?
Man, Crossroads family, welcome to the prime time. I'm doing
yeah.
Just fine, Brandon.
Yeah, we are prime time tonight a little bit, so... we'll probably end up doing a double show. We'll probably have this one and a crossover to kind of make sure we hit everything. We don't want to keep everybody tonight from their games, which right now, if you're a Braves fan, you kind of want to listen to this show because there's not much of a baseball game going on.
No, that's a bat around. Oh, man.
Imagine buying tickets for a big game five, and then before your team even gets to bat in the first inning, it's a wrap.
Man, there'd be, you know, Brandon, there'd be plenty of baseball tonight, man. Kind of spoiler alert for everybody who doesn't know, Tyler Fenwick from the Indianapolis Recorder will be coming on with us talking a little Major League Baseball, among other things. I know we're going to touch a little bit about the college rule change, what California calls rule change for NCAA, and probably how it's probably going to kind of, you know, splinter on out to the rest of the states that where basketball is kind of important to them. But, yeah. Plenty of baseball to talk about tonight, and let's get right into it. I know we got football to talk about too, Brandon.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive right into it. The NFL this past weekend. the week's kind of over already. We're halfway through based on our schedule for the show tonight, but let's dive right into the Indianapolis Colts and the Kansas City Chiefs. Nobody, I mean nobody, saw this game coming from the start. Not even you, Mr. Jonathan Birdsong. Not even you. Colts Chiefs.
Well, of course. I mean, as you know, we had a couple back and forths on Twitter between Three Foolish Men and Crossroads Sports. I kind of changed my prediction, and you obviously checked me on it because like my prediction was a little bit high. I had to turn out of the game correct, but I did not have the actual score. To see the Colts put on a defensive effort like that against, you know, Patty Mahomes, who people kind of jokingly about said he's already in the Hall of Fame, right? But we know he's an A-level talent. And he makes that team go. And like, what did they do, Brandon? They kind of, you know, went for the head. They cut, you know, we go for the head of a snake. You know what I'm saying? That's how you kill a snake. You go over his head. So you had a focused defense, a more, you know, engaged defense. Probably got tired of getting called out in the local press. Heck, we even, if anybody checks last episode, heck, we called them out because the defense didn't step up, hadn't stepped up. So, and it's a defense that people kind of expect more out of because of what happened last year, with, you know what I'm saying, with the names that kind of popped up out of nowhere, right? But with all that being said, the Colts put a hurting on the Kansas City Chiefs that nobody kind of saw coming. Here's what I learned from it, Brandon. I learned that the Colts cannot play, as I knew kind of weeks prior to, the Colts cannot play from behind. They're not a team that's built for that. They're not a team that's necessarily built for scoring. They are a team that's built to run the ball, and they are a team that's built to play defense. That's not me saying that Jacoby Brissett is a game manager. You know what I'm saying? Because he's a guy that can make, you know what I'm saying, good throws. He can make all the throws. That's not even a question. And he's got a command of the offense. And every guy in that locker room kind of looks up as leader of the team, right? But there is good quarterbacks like I think he is, and then there's special quarterbacks like Andrew Luck was. And I think in that particular blowout that we had with the Raiders, I think that's a game that Andrew Luck is special enough to get us back into. I think Andrew Luck is a guy that's special enough, especially that San Diego game that was kind of, you know, aired out by another player, you know what I'm saying? But I think, you know what I'm saying, those are things that kind of separate Andrew Luck from Jacoby Brissett. That doesn't mean, you know what I'm saying, but you already know my opinion on Andrew Luck. By Andrew Luck, hello, Jacoby Brissett. You're the guy that's supposed to get us to the dance. You know what I'm saying? You can't keep on looking at what you had. You have to look at what you have. So, again, like I say, the Colts cannot play from behind. They cannot get two scores down with anybody. because they're not built. They're a meticulous team built to beat you. You know what I'm saying? Probably not trying to score over 25 points. I don't think they. Correct me if I'm wrong. You might check the stats. I don't think they scored over 27 this whole regular season. So that's kind of my. That's my take on it. I mean, I don't foresee anybody. I don't necessarily think that's the recipe to beat the Kansas City. I mean, obviously, it is the recipe. It is the recipe to beat the Kansas City Chiefs. Get to the quarterback, but you got to have the ponies, and you got to have the staff to get to run a game plan. And everybody don't have that. Everybody don't have what the Colts got. So, I expect Kansas City to bounce back, and I expect the Colts, you know what I'm saying, going to the bye week to get better. I mean, hell, they got to get better. I think they got Miami coming up.
Yeah. First game they do have after the bye week is Houston. Houston comes to town. So, huge divisional game. I thought it was a great game plan by the Colts. Going into it, you're without Malik Hooker. You're without Darius Leonard. You're without a couple other defensive backs in the game. You brought a dude off the practice squad to start. All this is a recipe for Patrick Mahomes to have a hell of a crazy game. Well, what's one way to keep Patrick Mahomes off the field? And that's the Colts run game. You know, the phrase they use, run the damn ball. That's their phrase now.
Right.
For this season. Marlon Mack did well. Jordan Wilkins pulling off big chunk plays. The Chiefs defense couldn't stop anything. And it hasn't been able to stop anything all year.
All year, right. Brandon, I got a question for you. Are the Colts running the ball reminiscent of the Pittsburgh Steelers? Like how they used to run the ball before they made Ben the feature quarterback. I'm not knocking Ben Roethlisberger as a Hall of Famer, but like that now they want Ben. They've had Ben throwing more like the last 4 years than his first 4 years of his career, right? I'm asking you, do you see? Because dude, I think there's a more focus on running, on running back.
Possibly. One team I would say I think it mirrors a lot more than Pittsburgh's old style of offense.
Okay.
I think San Diego's with LaDainian Tomlinson, as much as they fed him the ball and the dump passes they did to him and Darren Sproles, I think that kind of mirrored more of the Colts run game than Pittsburgh. Because Pittsburgh was all run for the longest time. And then Ben would throw here and there and do that. But I think one big thing as well is you can see the development of Jacoby Brissett, and not just in his development, but Frank Wright and them deciding to put the game plan around Jacoby Brissett. If you can put the right type of game plan around the type of player you have, it's going to work perfect. So even a type A player, you have a type C game plan, it's probably not going to work. You need to fit what his strengths are, and keep him away from his weaknesses. And I think that's what Indianapolis has done so far. I think the Chiefs are fine. I still have them in the AFC Championship against New England, and New England beat them. But the Colts needed a win. It looked good for them. It definitely would have meant more last year in the playoffs when you beat them there in Kansas City. Beating them when it's 65, 70 degrees is a hell of a lot different going to Arrowhead this winter and playing when it's 10 degrees. We know how the Colts are in outside playoff games. They don't have a good track record. So it looked good.
Hey, man ain't walking through that door, but go ahead.
Well, Jacoby Brissett, I don't know how you're going to play in the cold. I think if they can keep the running backs healthy, they'll be good. T.Y. Hilton played he played all right. On Twitter, I see nothing but hatred, and it saddens me as a game of football fan how you're loved one minute and you're hated and crucified the next with Eric Ebron. The crucifixion of Eric Ebron on Twitter. The hate.
Man,
everybody loved this guy. They made T-shirts of this guy last year. Ebron was all over the news. He was the poster child. And this year, some drop balls. And they want to sell everything of his. They may have a Mayflower sitting outside of his house to pack up his stuff
and
get him out.
I hope Eric Ebron doesn't. I don't want to say Andrew Luck made him. I gave great praise for Andrew Luck just 2 minutes ago. So, but that's kind of like what it is. Andrew Luck kind of turned this guy's career around. He had a Pro Bowl career stats last year. That's the reason why his exit out of Detroit was because he had the dropsy. That's what they know him at. That's what he's known as. But with the transition, I think he hasn't made a proper adjustment. But like I'm hoping, man, as you can see, man, it's just a mental thing, Brandon. You can see, you can Google it. You know what I mean? So I think it's just something. I just rather than me ramble on. I think with him, it's just something between the ears, man. I know that's something that their own Jim Irsay kind of said. I think it's something in between the ears, and hopefully, you know what I'm saying, he builds and like I said, also it's got to kind of come from Jacoby as well. Like you got to believe in him. But like I keep hearing Jack Doyle's name and number called, and maybe that's something that he's kind of worked out a relationship that he's kind of worked out with Jack Doyle. He's got to build that same relationship with Eric Ebron. But Ebron's got the opportunity that he's getting, man. He's got to take advantage of him, and he has not been.
No, he hasn't, and it hasn't burnt the Colts too much. Now, John, you're 5 games in. If you sit here and look at the Colts with their schedule, 5 games in, you're sitting at 3-2. You'd probably be happy with that, especially with the way Andrew Luck's departure and the uncertainty of what's going on.
They should be at least 4-1, man. Anthony Lynn, the head coach of the San Diego Chargers, LA Chargers, needs to send Adam Vinatieri all kind of, Christmas presents, man. That gift wrap that the Chargers are not a good team. They're not.
Uh-oh.
And they don't have – what's their excuse? What's their excuse? I don't know any Chargers fans. We in the L.A. market, we're a little bubbling in the L.A. market, man. Nobody's pissed off us at you, not at me, right? But what's their excuse, Brandon? Didn't the running back come back?
Yeah, but he's not up to health. He's not ready.
And he's not – right, he's not up to speed, but, like, the Chargers, who else – outside of the Miami Dolphins, nobody else should have any excuse this year. Nobody else. For being terrible. John Gruden should have known it was coming. I'm serious. It shouldn't be nothing surprising.
You mean
not
Jay.
Sorry, dang it. Well, John saved his job. Man, the Midwest teams just saved John Gruden's job. The two Midwest teams, didn't they? The Bears gave him a gift wrap, and the Colts gave him another gift wrap.
I think Oakland's better than what people are putting them to this year. I think they're good, but they're better.
Better, like, are you scared to really play them again?
No.
You know what I mean? Right.
On a scale of A, B, C, D, E, middle C.
You already said E. Okay. All right. I got you.
I had them as a D, and they're an E. I had them as a D, they're a C.
Right. Well, so, little brother should have saw it coming. Had to. I don't think it was just because the Patriots blew him out. This is the way you lost to the Patriots. But the way you lost to him.
Yeah, he had some stuff going on as well. Smoking the little doobie on camera, going after the teenage, the college girls. Probably should have worked on a little bit more of those plays and coaching.
If a
former big box store that you used to work at, if they called you at 5 a.m. and said, "Hey, John, meet us in here at 5 a.m. We're just gonna have a meeting for the day and talk about everything," would you go in there at 5 a.m.? How pissed would you be if you got let go then?
To get fired? Wow.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting. Right, in the big box. No. You just fired me over the phone, bro.
I expect
major change. That kind of leads to our next conversation, I would assume. I expect major changes and overhaul with the Washington Redskins. But, like, they're going to probably tank. I mean, they've already tanked. They're 0-5. And what you text me, them offering Mike Tomlin to come next year.
Will you say Tomlin? Give some respect to the man's name.
I'm sorry, man. How many Super Bowls he got?
He's got one. He's got more than the guy you're calling him.
Well, you got – you're right, you're right. But, like, no, man. So, like, that's, like, a for real thing, Brandon. That actually could happen. Like,
yeah,
I know people are going – like, media people are going to shade it because they think that Mike wouldn't come work for megalomaniac like Dan – like Snyder when the family that runs – the Rooneys that run the Pittsburgh Steelers are, like, always calm, cool, and collected. You know what I'm saying? This dude's had so much turnover with the Washington Redskins. It would be – so. My thoughts on it, Brandon, is they make him an offer he can't refuse. This is his way out of Pittsburgh.
With his head held high.
With his head held high without having to do a rebuild and potentially getting fired during said rebuild. Like, he can't go through – your thoughts. That's what I picked it up to you. Go ahead.
Pittsburgh never does rebuilds, ever. We've never done a rebuild. So – It won't ever be that bad.
I don't want to hurt your feelings, man. It looked like rebuild.
It ain't a rebuild. We've had injuries. It's all right.
Okay.
Anyways, let me give my thing
on
Mike Tomlin. So Washington Redskins, they're obviously looking for a head coach. Mike Tomlin's been keyed into that situation. For those of you that don't know that are listening, also Tomlin has a son that plays in Washington D.C. As well there. So there is some. I don't know if I want to say interest, but there is some connect the dots you can do for this position.
Right.
I do see a lot of people saying there's no way he would leave Pittsburgh and go there. I think there definitely is a way. Everybody has an offer. Everybody has a price. I do think for him to leave Pittsburgh, I think there's a couple things. Number one, Mike Tomlin, I think, also has to be given the GM role. So it'd be a coach GM, kind of like John Gruden had. Obviously not the type of money that John had, obviously, but that way Mike can then scout and get his own players in there. He doesn't have to worry about Kevin Colburn and what he's done, with Pittsburgh and getting the players. If Mike gets his players that he wants and he has that full control, he's getting that money, the money, and you're sitting here looking at a $12, $13 million year. Now, Mike Tomlin still has some year left on his contract. So for Washington to do this, they would have to trade draft picks to Pittsburgh plus cash to facilitate this trade. As a Pittsburgh fan and for the city of Pittsburgh, some people, let's pump the brakes a little bit here because a lot of people are wanting him out. I don't want Mike Tomlin out. I really don't because, John, let's sit back and look. Do you see what's out there? Do you see what's out there right now?
You talking about as far as coaching?
There are four winless head coaches in their first year out there right now in the NFL. Four head coaches are 0-4 or 0-5 to start the season. It's not that easy. Mike Tomlin, there's bonehead decisions he makes, or, I call it all on the players too. Mike Tomlin doesn't fumble the football. That was Juju Smith. Mike Tomlin did, decide to kick in overtime, which I really didn't understand that to begin with. And then here in the press conference, him talking about, we did it because based on their kicker with Tucker, their guys were getting down there, and all we could do is fair catch a ball at the pinned inside our 15-yard line. Well, at least if we punt, our defense was playing good, then we could get them to punt the ball, and we have good field position. So I see the theory for that. I don't think it's a rebuild, John. I still don't, even with everything. I think just there's a lot of inconveniences this year for this team. I mean, Mason Rudolph, Jesus, he just got destroyed Sunday. Huge concussion. Earl Thomas, cheap hit.
Right. Well, Brandon, you bring up a lot of good points, okay? But from a lot of things that you say, I'm not trying to be combative with you, or from a fan standpoint, from a business standpoint, and looking at your team, wouldn't it be better? I'm not saying that the Steelers are out by any realm. I'm not saying that. But wouldn't it be better if they made a trade and traded to have, Thompson becomes the head coach of the Washington Redskins, the whole scenario of him becoming general manager and kind of working the screen so Dan Snyder can worry about the businesses and he can worry about the football team. Wouldn't that
be but then who do you go after?
I'm sure there's some Big 12 head coach is ready to come to the NFL and wow us with his way of offense.
Lincoln Riley?
He's going to be a head coach in the NFL next year. He's going to be a head coach in the NFL next year.
Well, might as well be. If we can get draft picks out of it, then make it Pittsburgh.
I don't know if he's the guy that they want, but I'm saying, yeah, I want three picks
for Mike Tomlin. I want three picks. I want a first round, a fifth round, a first round, a fifth round, and a sixth round.
You might get a third round. A couple.
I want the first. We have to get a first back. We have to get a first round back.
From Washington, they're crazy enough to do it. They're crazy enough to do it.
Yeah, you see what they did for RG3.
Right. Brandon, I gotta eat a little crow, man. On the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
And their quarterback.
That doesn't happen often.
Well, right, yeah, it doesn't happen. You also gotta, you know what I'm saying, the running back is also pretty awesome too, man. Listen. I don't ever look at the colors of people's skin when it comes to like what they do. But when's the last time you had a white running back be this stellar in the league? You know what I'm saying? McCaffrey is a stellar kind of player. He's a stellar kind of player, and you have to account for him when he's on that field, man. And the Carolina Panthers, like I said, my guy's what's his name? He couldn't cut it. Kyle Allen. He couldn't cut it at Texas A&M. He had to transfer to Houston. And, like, now, because I don't know what Cam wants to wear, you know what I'm saying, women's drawers on his head or whatever. I don't know what the hell Cam Newton, but he's got to get something. Like, this dude, Kyle Allen, is living a dream, man. And he's like, I think he's 4-0 now since he's taken over the star rank. Now, he's had help. Like, it's a team. It's a total team effort. But we all know the quarterback you have to have stellar playing from a quarterback position to win it, and he's been playing pretty good numbers, decent numbers.
Yeah, I think Christian McCaffrey's been unbelievable. He's killed me in a few fantasy leagues I've played against him. I think he has
Nobody
the opportunity to be the best white running back of all time. He has an attempt now. Obviously, John Riggins is up there on that list. Also, is Larry Zonka, Rocky Blair, and then also Merrill Hodge. Those guys are up there. I even put Mike Alstott in the top five for white running backs, but Christian McCaffrey in his young career, I think his third season, he's already easily, steadily climbing that pace. And here's the thing, Kyle Allen's doing exactly what he's told in these game plans. And with Cam Newton, there's no continuity that Christian McCaffrey could get from Cam Newton, because Cam would, you know, take a sack or whatnot and make a bonehead pass, or he's worried about what end zone celebration he's going to do, pull the Superman shirt out and stuff. And at least McCaffrey can get in a flow. I think Riverboat Ron, as they call him, he can finally get himself, you know, he's got a defense, good defense as well in Carolina. They're doing well this year.
I think, you know what I'm saying, with Cam going – I mean, it's crazy, man. With Cam going down, man, it's kind of saved Ron Rivera's job. He probably was on the hot seat. And, you know, even though we still got time and season left, but they don't look like a team that's getting ready to fold, especially – I mean, and that division is highly contested. That division is highly contested, but they seem like they're not getting ready to fold. And, like, the first couple games with Cam at the helm, it looked like they were going to be somewhere finishing with the Dolphins.
You want to hear a hot take I got from this past weekend?
Go for it.
The NFL is on the hot seat, John. This week in the NFL was the most injuries for a single week in football in the last 13 years was this past weekend. 41 injuries, 41 players injured. Either carted off or helped off the field severely, not severely, but injured one way or another, but 41 players, the most in an NFL week in the last, I forget, it was like 12, 13 seasons, I think it was. So talk about player safety, seeing 41 right now, and the numbers keeps going up week after week, it seems like. So hot seat, NFL.
So long as nobody.
There was one.
Okay.
They didn't do the cart. They didn't bring a cart out for the man. It died.
Yeah, I think the NFL knows. I think people know too, Brandon. They know NFL guys get hurt. It's the concussion thing that people are kind of unsettled by.
Mm-hmm. So, hot take there. Steelers up to their third-string quarterback, Devlin Hodges. He played well. He did. He came in there and played, and it was a huge Ravens game. And, you know, did I think we were going to win it all? No, I didn't. And I was happy we were in it. I mean, because you think about it, we lost by 3 to them. You lost by at the end to San Francisco. You lost at the end to, right there. You're 1-4. You could easily be 3-2 or, 4-1 at that point.
Hey, Brandon. I know Tyler getting ready to call in like a couple minutes, man, or so. But did you have any other comments about the Bears or any other team? I don't want to keep on saying the Bears. I know a lot of people that are fans of the Bears, and I had the Bears still going 7-4. That wasn't one of the four games I had them losing, but they lost it. But do you have at least 2 minutes for the Bears?
I do have two minutes.
I am disappointed.
They pissed down their leg. Brandon Brantley, I hate to say it, but you kind of knew exactly what you were going to get with the Chicago Bears this season. Here's my problem with the Bears. I don't think they came prepared to this game. Number one, when they came in, they arrived like, what, a day and a half or 2 days right before the game. And the Raiders were there almost a week. So they were all set for that. Chase Daniel, they'll be good when – I don't even know if they'll be good when Trubisky comes back because they were terrible with him. So are the Bears a fluke? Are they a flash in the pan that we thought they were something? Their defense is great, but the offense –
That defense is great, Brandon. That defense is great. They got to figure out more consistency with their offensive line and quarterback play.
Hey, what's up with everybody saying that the Raiders now have won the trade?
Nah, absolutely not. After two games, they beat the Colts, and they beat the Colts trying to figure out themselves, and they beat the Bears who spotted them 14 or 21. I can't remember.
Uh-huh.
They beat 14 or 17 points. That's how much the Bears.
Yeah.
No way. No, that was a bad. I mean, all trades are generally lopsided. The Bears won that trade. I'm totally in agreement with that.
Hey, are you finally off the Browns hype train?
They are a night and day team, man. They do not know what they want to be. And you know what? No, that's not you. I'm sorry, that's not you. I'm not on the hype train. I was kind of in the middle. But you know what? It's super.
Reggie Sykes
has been coming up. You know whose name has been coming up? Their head coach. And
yeah,
like,
I told you.
You did. That's the only reason why I give credit when credit is due. And you were the first one. I'm like, the season ain't even started yet. You was like, the head coach left. And like,
he's terrible.
He's going to get if they finish with less than 8 wins, he's probably going to get replaced. And I know he ain't been there for but 2 years, I think.
It's his first year.
Yeah, his first year as head coach. I thought.
Right, yeah, he was offensive coordinator or offensive line coach last year.
Yeah, man.
Big difference.
They got to figure out. They have too much talent on that team, and they're kind of wasting it. That's how I assess the Cleveland Browns.
Does it hurt Cleveland Browns fans more with all this hype and the commercials and everything, and then the hype of going into this season, and then it's kind of just went to crap, or the 15, 16 years of complete suck that the Browns have done, which is worse for the Browns fans? I think it's this, all the hype.
Brandon Reed, football is not basketball. You cannot come out here. Tom Brady didn't win a Super Bowl. How much crap did they talk coming into this season?
Yeah,
none.
Nothing.
None.
By the way, before we bring Tyler on, because I see he's on here, before we bring him on, sneaky MVP candidate right now and could possibly – surprise some teams and win the NFC. Russell Wilson and that Seahawks team, John. That's impressive what
Man.
He's doing.
I hey, I had to bite my. I thought when the Sonic Boom was gone, when all the, you know what I'm saying, all those guys on the defense was gone, I thought they were going to fold and somehow Pete Carroll was going to somehow end his way back up at USC. But yeah, Russell, you're right, MVP for damn sure.
Absolutely. So, all right. Without further ado, we've got Tyler joining us once again. Tyler Fenwick from the Indianapolis Recorder. Tyler, how are you, my man?
I've had better days. It's 8 p.m. and I haven't eaten dinner, and I don't know what I'm going to eat. So it's just one of
well,
those
probably,
days, I guess.
You're probably doing better than Braves fans right now. It's,
I imagine so, yeah.
Big struggle for them. I was out at golfing today for a work event, and the game started, and I looked at the score, and I said, wait a minute, what's going on? It's the first inning. It's 10-0. Game's already over.
I'm in the same position. I have an event to be at tonight, and I was sitting at a Starbucks, and I got a notification, 10 runs in the first inning, like 14 batters or something went through. Like, oh, my gosh, you know, no matter who you thought was going to win, like that just blew all of our minds.
Yeah, absolutely. Since it's, we got baseball going on, we've got another game tonight. Let's go ahead and we'll go around the playoff bracket, I guess we can say. All four series, is, I mean, I guess three series is left currently going on. Let's obviously look at Atlanta and St. Louis. With St. Louis most likely advancing, who are they going to be looking to want to face? Is it going to be the Dodgers, or are they going to want to face the Nationals in the next round?
I don't know. Like, you can make, you know, if you're a fan or you're looking for, like, the best matchup, I don't know, because the Nationals, you know, if they beat the Dodgers, you could say, wow, you know, that's a team that's getting hot at the right time, like, they're on a run here. But then the Dodgers are just playing good, and, like, that's the team that we all pretty much expected to move on to the NLCS, and they've got, you know, they've got a tremendous pitching staff. Like, I don't know if you're a Braves fan, I don't know what you want. I think at this point, no matter what team you're rooting for, no matter who you're playing for, you move on to, you know, the league championship series, and you just understand that you're going to play a good team. So I don't even know if I was a Braves fan. You know, I don't know how much time I would spend worrying about that. I would just kind of if I was a Cardinals fan, I'm not sure I would spend so much time worrying about that.
Okay, perfect. Looking over here at the American League side, we've got a pivotal. The Yankees have won. They end up sweeping the Twins, which was expected. I thought the Twins may put up a little bit of a fight, but that Yankee offense and pitching is just superb. Game 5 tomorrow night, surprise, to me it's a huge shocker that the Rays have done what they've done to compete with the Astros and kind of just put it to the Astros. I'll tell you this both. I lost money last night because I thought Verlander was going to be untouchable. And coming off of 3 days rest, and he just got shellacked bad in that first inning. And then just never really put it together. So we have a huge game 5 tomorrow. Two great pitchers. By the way, John, do you know the two pitchers in tomorrow night's game both were Indianapolis Indians pitchers?
Hey, man, when it comes to baseball, I yield to my current audience. I yield to my current audience greatness when it comes to the subject, man. I had a bunch of notes from last week that I still wanted to share. But, no, I did not know, man, there was a connection with the Indians.
Yeah, both of them pitched for the Indianapolis Indians at one time. If I feel good about Garrett Cole tonight or tomorrow night for the Astros. The problem is, if you look, say the Astros advance, Tyler, and they go to take on the Yankees, you're only going to get Verlander and Garrett Cole for three of the possible seven games. You're going to get Zach Greinke for two games himself. So, you know, I don't know. I think that side's on the Yankees, that the fact you're only going to face the main two guys one, or twice, really, or three times.
And looking at the Astros these last couple of games against the Rays, the offense hasn't really been there. And you're going to need a strong offensive performance consistently if you're going to hang with the Yankees. I mean, they, They put up a lot of crooked numbers against the Twins. So, I'm not giving up on the Astros. I mean, I think they're still, a really good team, and I would absolutely give them a shot against the Yankees, even though they haven't looked that great recently. I just think it's so surprising that if you were to take those two divisional series in the American League and say one of these is going five games, the other there's a sweep, I don't think you would say that the Yankees would sweep and Rays and Astros would go five games. I think you would go the other way around because, we just seem to be that confident in the Astros. But instead, it was the Yankees that swept and it's the Astros that are kind of struggling. So if the Astros do pull it off and go on to play the Yankees for a chance to go to the World Series, there's definitely reason to be nervous there, not just because of what you said about, not getting the ideal pitching rotation in that series, but also because you're going to have to find some offense, and unless they show something promising tomorrow, that could be in doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. Are you a fan of the traditional pitchers usually go 5-6 innings of starters, and then you unleash the bullpen, or kind of like the way the Tampa Bay Rays are doing it right now, where it's you get your starter for maybe one or two innings, and then you just throw it to the bullpen?
It's October, and things become untraditional. The Yankees, we talked about this a couple weeks ago, how the Yankees were going to be a little shorthanded with their pitching staff, and I said I wasn't really worried about it because everyone gets a little untraditional in October by necessity because you want to get a leg up. Some games are all hands on deck, all arms on deck, excuse me. I think either the traditional or untraditional approach, I don't have a real preference myself. I just think, that manager is looking at the lineup, looking at the arms he has available, and he makes the decision. And, of course, it could not pay off, but this is October. This is the playoffs. You gotta do what puts your team in the best position to win, right now, this game. So I don't think I could take a side. It would just be a game-by-game basis where I'm saying, this might be one where, you've got a strong starter. Let's see what you can do for 6-7 innings, as long as you're going to get blown up. But, then there are times where you're you got a lot of arms available. You can put some regular starters in there and really lock down a team. So not a strong preference.
Okay. Yeah, I love playoff baseball. The only thing I hate is each game seems to go about an hour and 20 minutes longer than they do during the regular season with everything going on. So we have a fan base around here, obviously around Indianapolis. Some of them are Cubs fans. Right now, we have a couple of candidates for the Cubs. A couple of names drawn out there. David Ross from the who used to play for the Cubs, obviously won the World Series title with them. And then Joe Girardi as well. Joe's been brought up previously, even when Madden was brought in. With Ross, Girardi, and then I'm drawing a space on the bench coach for the Astros. Those seem like the top three candidates. Which do you like best to be the next Cubs manager?
I think I would probably lean towards Girardi, but to be honest, I can't put a finger on why that is exactly. Because the Cubs do have such an important hire. They're going to move on from Joe Madden at this point, which I think a lot of teams wouldn't have done if they were in that situation, frankly. The Cubs, they're out on the limb here. The next hire is very important. So I lean towards Girardi, but that's something where I'm more interested in just what happens a year from now. What does the next offseason look like for the Cubs? Are they thinking, we got the right guy? Or is it we got to wait to see what we have next season? That's what I'm kind of looking forward to.
Okay. John, what do you got for him?
I got – that's a pretty good breakdown. I got the because I don't want this to be a baseball dominant conversation, man. Tyler knows a whole lot about sports. But I didn't get to pick on him a couple weeks ago about Michigan losing, and I'm not going to do it tonight either.
All right.
No, man, I kind of, you know what I'm saying, I got a question for Tyler, but I think Girardi would be the name that I kind of lean towards because kind of like feel like he kind of – everybody kind of feels from a fan standpoint, you know what I'm saying, he kind of got a raw deal out of his way out of New York, didn't kind of want to leave. So we kind of want to see Joe Girardi on somebody's bench, you know what I'm saying, what better bench than the Cubs, you know what I'm saying, the Heartlands team, right? But I just don't know from a personality standpoint, you know what I'm saying, is he going to clash with his personalities, you know what I'm saying, because that's a big part too, personalities, like who you're hiring, and like, I don't say all this because he's a Yankee and, you know what I'm saying, general manager, you know what I'm saying, former affiliate of the Boston Red Sox, I don't know, man. You know, I kind of hope Joe Girardi gets it, but I just don't know if that's where the Cubs go. But like I said, hold Tyler too long. I do want to pick his brain a little bit about college football, and was the Iowa game enough of a redemption game? Seeing with Iowa, who they are. I was going to be a player in the Big Ten. But did you see that as somewhat of a redemption game, especially the way they held Iowa like 3 points?
Well, off the top of my head, I want to say that was Jim Harbaugh's second win against a top 15 team. So in some ways, it was like a little significant, just like getting that win on paper. But the offense still looks like it doesn't know what it's doing. They don't really know who they are. That's kind of evident. Their defense, though, man, they had 3 picks, a fumble recovery, sacked Nate Stanley, I think, like 8 times, 13 tackles for that. Like, it was the best defensive performance in a long time, and that's a defense that consistently plays well. So, like, it was one of those things where you're really happy that Jim Harbaugh be the top 15 team, and it was, you were going into that game like wondering what kind of statement the team made, and I walked away from it thinking like, well, you know, some of those problems, and most of those problems are still there on offense, but maybe that defense can keep them in hopefully pretty much every game that they have this season, and you know, you see what the offense can do. So I got mixed feelings about it.
Right. The defense did look very focused. Brandon?
Yeah, I agree. I took Michigan. It seemed like everybody was on Iowa. The public was on Iowa when the Caesars bets came out. Iowa was, I think it was plus 4.5 or plus 5. I took Michigan. I said, hey, this is the type of game where Harbaugh has to bounce back. The offense, though, I'm nervous about that offense still. A lot of dumb plays by Shea Patterson still. And the defense, like I said, the defense shelled out. But I'm not 100% there, gentlemen, with Michigan for this season.
Oh, me neither.
Okay. And John, I know you're all about – you're all love of John Harbaugh, Birdsong. So,
Captain come back and do no wrong. I just wanted – you know what I'm saying? I just wanted him there at the end, you know what I'm saying, just to have a shouting chance. To say, you know,
that's the dream.
I heard a thing, John, that people from Ann Arbor don't know how to get down to Indianapolis each winter. So,
oh my gosh.
So, I mean, hey, we might have to send them directions up there.
Wow. Well, Brandon, I know we're probably going to talk a little bit more college football, but I also want to kind of talk about me and Tyler were. I had the experience to check out the Indy 11 this past weekend. I walked away with a different appreciation for soccer. I know it's not necessarily MLS. I know definitely it ain't, you know what I'm saying, Euroleague soccer. But, you know what I'm saying, from the kind of the setup of how things kind of work downtown. They've moved from the IUPUI campus. They're playing games at Lucas Oil now in the 11th.
Yep.
But I kind of walked away. I know somebody's listening right now. I'm hoping they are saying that, hey, you know what I'm saying, that the Indy 11 is just, you know what I'm saying, a certain level of soccer. But from somebody who's trying to learn, you know what I'm saying, first experience with, you know what I'm saying, being there in live interaction, man, I walked away impressed with the athletes and with the total overall experience. I know Tyler. I don't know if that was Tyler's first game or not. I just kind of want to know some of Tyler's thoughts around it.
Well, that was my first game at Lucas Oil. I'd been to one or two when they were at IUPUI, because that's where I went to college. So, you know, some nights you just walk over to the stadium. The atmosphere, I think, by far was better at IUPUI because it's not a huge NFL stadium and you're outdoors. But it was still really cool, like that they were in this enormous stadium, and the I call them like the diehard fans, you know, the ones who are chanting the whole time, like you hear on TV. Yeah, that was very audible, like more audible than I thought it was going to be. So it was still like a really cool experience. And they won 3-0. I had to leave at halftime, and I think they were up 3-0 at that point. It was 3-0 in soccer. I might be saying that wrong, but it was definitely a cool experience, my first time at Lucas Oil.
Yeah, I agree. I've went to both. I've went to Carroll Stadium, and I've also been down at Lucas Oil Stadium for both games. And like I said, the experience is so much better at Carroll Stadium. You're right. You feel closer. You feel more compact. And to me, it's louder than it is. And it's crazy because it's an open stadium, and then you got the indoor at Lucas Oil, but it's louder there. The indoor is cool. They can think they can get more people, and they're trying to showcase it all for the next level. But no, I thought it was great. I've been to a few games. Love them. I'm trying to get more into soccer, especially the European style, the Premier League. And I know we had recently, who'd we have? I just have on Jime. I'm missing the name.
We had Dume, who's a big EuroLeague fan. Yeah.
So, but gentlemen, this is a big weekend for Indy 11. Typically, they would play tonight, usually on a Wednesday night game or so. But I think they're on the road this weekend. I think at Tampa Bay, they're sitting right now 3 seed. They have a chance to win and get clinched number 1 seed for the playoffs. If Pittsburgh and Nashville. So I think last weekend I saw that Indy 11 needed to win and the other 4 teams lose for them to have a chance. And guess what? They won, and all 4 teams lost. So, Indy 11's got a shot. They have a great team.
They have a good team.
That would be exciting.
You kind of have to untrain your mind when it comes to if you're used to like football, like, you know, say American League football, or even like basketball. Kind of untrain your mind. It's about the set for me. I'm speaking for me. It's like the setup. And then when they score, it's like you appreciate it more. It's better. I'll be honest with you, Brandon and Tyler. It's better experience when you're there than it is on TV, man. Because I learned a lot. I really did. And I didn't. Heck, nobody even gave me a tour. and I learned a lot by just watching. And like I said, man, tickets are relatively inexpensive. I think we pay more for parking. Because we weren't on media credentials at Indy 11. Holler at the Indy 11. They need to get us media credentials, but I think we're working on that. But all seriousness, man, I think we pay more for parking than we actually pay to get a ticket price to get in the game, man. And like I said, I just wanted, you know what I'm saying, kind of share some thoughts with some of the listeners. I know, I mean, there was actually a pretty good turnout as well. At this particular game. Not that everybody's got to be a follower because everybody's showing up at any level of games. But like I said, man, it's a pretty good game. My personal opinion, fellas, like soccer in America needs to be Americanized. I know it's a little quirky. I'm not saying it needs to be like rock and jock, but it needs to be Americanized, man. Like I don't know, the field's too wide. It's too wide.
Uh-oh.
And the scoring needs to be.
It's too wide.
I know. I'm saying
Uh-oh.
Terrible things, man. But if it's had more scoring. More people would watch it. More people, they would. That's why.
John,
NFL
you play too much. You play too
Say
much foosball. That's the problem. You play too much foosball.
Maybe so.
a lot of the scoring and all that. No, yeah, they got two games left this Saturday at Tampa, and then next Wednesday night, fan appreciation night. If I'm off from work, John, I want to try to go to this game next Wednesday. Fan appreciation night, Indy 11, the game right before the playoffs start. I'm not sure how they're, and I apologize, hand up, I'm usually well prepared for this. I'm not sure how their playoffs work seating-wise and such, so they may have a home game for it. By the way, the Cardinals did finally just win 13-1. Sorry, Braves fans.
Wow. Wow.
John, another sport, while we got Tyler on, I don't know how much Tyler, but one we're going to start keying on, John, as well, is we didn't get so love to the Indy Fuel, the hockey team, the affiliates of the great Chicago Blackhawks. They start their season. They've had two preseason games already. Home opener is this Friday, 7 o'clock, but it's going to be at Wichita. Their first home game is not till the 25th. So you got some time to get your tickets for that. But I've went to maybe 20 Indy Fuel games, and I love it. Love the atmosphere. Really? I'm a big Blackhawks fan, so anything they have to do with it, it's great. But great experience, John. I need to get you to a hockey game.
Oh, wow. Tyler, you got any experience around hockey?
Oh, see, man, I don't really follow hockey. I watched the Frozen Four a few years ago because Michigan was in it. But I grew up around Fort Wayne, where the Comets are, and the Comets are traditionally pretty good. I mean, I don't really know enough to say that they're good right now. But I know, like, when I was growing up, it was a big deal to go to a Comets game, and they were, like, always doing really well. So I think I could go to a Indy Fuel game and, like, enjoy myself, even if I don't care about hockey very much.
Yeah. Okay. Comets and Fuel are rivals, John. They're rivals. It gets heated.
Really?
Of the game I went with, the Comets took on the Fuel, there was 6 fights in that game. So these two teams do not like each other, and they're in the state of Indiana, and I love it. So
maybe we'll figure something out.
Absolutely.
Hey, Tyler, I know we only got you on for a short time. I do appreciate you coming on, representing for Tyler Fenwick and Indianapolis Recorder. I do got a couple. Are you working on anything in particular coming up?
Well, so our newspaper is a weekly, comes out every Thursday. So tomorrow, and right now I'm the only reporter. We're down to one reporter. So pretty much every story you see in there will be mine. I'm excited about one tomorrow, though. There was a study that came out from IEPY talking about rent burdens, like how much you're paying for rent compared to what your income is. And it's abysmal. It's very bad in Indianapolis and Marion County. So I was able to talk to a couple people who are really struggling to make their rent and live a decent life. So it's a story that I think people should definitely read if you're not if you're not in that situation, you don't understand what it's like. And my hope is that you can read this and like get a better appreciation for what some people go through. But that's one I'm pretty excited about coming out tomorrow.
Interesting. Okay. I'll have to check that one out.
Okay. Well, Tyler, I appreciate you coming on for again, man. It's been good talking with
you. Yeah, thanks.
Absolutely. And we won't wait so long next week. We'll get you back on. I feel bad about last week. We were ready to go, and I told John 10 minutes before the show, I said, their network's down, and the program's not going to work.
I happened to see it on Twitter. I saw it on Twitter, and I think I texted John, and I was like, "Nice job, mate?" you didn't inconvenience me at all because I was already going home, not doing anything. So it was no big deal at all.
Perfect. Well, we'll get you on next week. We'll talk a little bit. Hopefully, the schedules will work out, and we'll talk AL and NLCS as we get closer to the end of the baseball season and everything, and of course, Michigan football. Who does Michigan play this week?
Michigan plays Illinois. Former Michigan quarterback Brandon Peters, who went to Avon High School, he is hurt. I would say he's probably like questionable to play for Illinois, where he transferred this season. But if he plays, it'll be former Michigan quarterback going up against his former team.
Uh-oh. John, you might smell upset. So, all right, Tyler. Well, thank you for joining us, my man, and we'll see you again, buddy.
See you next week.
Thank you.
Thanks, Tyler.
All right, that was Tyler Fenwick of the Indianapolis Recorder. Always, John, a source of knowledge for baseball, Big Ten football, and as well just things, great news stories in the city of Indianapolis. And it sounds like he's pretty much got the whole show to himself right now. So, yeah, check out that article out tomorrow in the Indianapolis Recorder, IndianapolisRecorder.com website as well. And I think they still have hard copies, I believe, in some of the old – I can't really think what it's called. You know it. You're old enough. What's those things called? The bins?
They got hard copies. Go by the office or call the office. And shame on me for not having the number readily available. But hey, it's a Googleized world. Indianapolis Recorder. All you got to do is Google it. But like I said, man, and we'll get that number up too. I promise. Not to be unprofessional. I just don't have it. I don't have that information in front of me right now. But yeah, they do still sell paper copies for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Before we move on, John, looks like we have a caller. Let's see who we got here. Crossroads Sports Radio. Who's this?
What's going on? It's Jose. How's it going?
Hey, Jose. Good, good. What do you want to talk about?
Yeah, I had a quick question. Did you see the Boise State game from last night, Bobby?
I did. That game was nuts.
Yeah, I know. It seemed like the Sooners had a leaky valve in their defense there. Who would have guessed the Statue of Liberty at the end of that overtime? What a crazy finish. But just one last question. Who do you think has the cuter butt? Would that be Ezekiel Elliott or Dak Prescott in your opinion?
Huh. John, I'm going to yield you to this one. What do you think, buddy?
Who is this character, man? I don't answer
you know, honestly, I'm going to go with Ezekiel. He just – his chocolate skin color just really
– Be wilding out, bro.
Uh-oh. Got to love it, John. We got the crazies out here tonight, so.
You are wild. Right. Did that just happen? That just happened. Real?
It happened.
You actually entertained the crap. That's what that dude said. Last is, man, I don't have time. I hope he calls back on next week.
Yeah, I hope he calls back again next week. I got that dump button ready for you. So.
Damn, you got no life. No life. None. No life.
Hey, it happens. Things happen. People try to be
He's not even living in his mama's basement. He got no life. Call back again. Find me on
I love it.
Find me on Twitter. I'm got pissed, man. We run a professional show around here. I ain't got time for trolls. I know the king of trolls, but no, I ain't got time for idiotic trolls.
Yeah. All right, absolutely.
Man. You gonna make me lose my professionalism. Go ahead.
Hey, you know what? Hey, it's all part of the sports business. Dockage has people call in that are stupid, so good news is I have the dump button. I can dump it at any time, and I pushed
Wilder.
It. So keeps you humble, I guess. A couple things I have for you, John, before we kind of dive a little bit more we talked about college football a little bit already. Bless our heart, I had the picks up, John, and I had to kind of restore the computer this week. It was kind of crashed on me. But our picks right now, you're up. You have a 2-game lead. We both did very well last week. We both went 5-2. So two game lead for you. 31-9.
I ain't do it.
I've got your lineups for you.
I ain't do good enough. Auburn. I forgot. I mean, Auburn didn't travel. They traveled, but they game didn't travel to Florida.
Well, you're welcome, because I should be one game back, but I let you repick the Penn State-Purdue game.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
So, Maryland at Purdue. John, who do you like?
Man, on any other given Saturday, I would like Purdue. I still kind of like Purdue, because I still think Maryland's a shell of a Big Ten team. I don't know if they are, but I think Maryland wins because Purdue got too many injuries. They got too many guys, critical guys out.
Okay, I'm actually going to take Purdue in this one just because I will never pull for Maryland ever. So, boiler up, we'll go from there. Ball State at Eastern Michigan. I picked Northern Illinois to win, and Ball State beat them last week. So, props to the Cardinals there. But
it's like a 9-season curse against Northern Illinois, man. I think the Cards are. I had a good alumni friend of ours, man, Scott Nichols, who runs State Farm Insurance, man. He's a local state car insurance, man. He said this is he told me a couple weeks ago, man, that he thought, you know, said the Cards had a rough time, were going to have a rough time in their preseason, but he think during like MAC play they were going to, you know, saying show some development and show some wins. I agree. I got Ball State. I got Ball State. I think, you know, I know everybody thought they had they had some of a tough road because homecoming ain't till the 19th. I like the Cards. I do.
I've got the Eastern Michigan Eagles in this one myself.
Wow.
This game. Rutgers at Indiana. Indiana, a 22.5-point favorite in this one, John. Is there anything in God's green earth that Rutgers could win this game?
Man, I'm hoping Michael Penix plays so we can see, like, what next year is going to kind of look like for him. As far as like Heisman talk, I don't think he wins the Heisman next year. I don't want nobody to go nuts. I think he'll be in I think he'll be in talks. He's got a skill set that kind of speak to that language of Heisman. You know what I mean? But Rutgers ain't got a shot. I know. I had to give praise where pretty credit's due, man. And like I said, he'll eat if he starts, he'll eat Rutgers alive.
Okay, Florida at LSU. Big SEC game. Florida with a huge win over Auburn last week. They may have found their quarterback now that Felipe Franks is out. Florida at LSU. Do the Gators get it done a second week?
I don't think so.
I got LSU as well.
Yeah, I heard the magic kind of stops there. I mean, they'll still have a magical season, but they've been kind of like Notre Dame. Looking on the outside, looking in. It's okay.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Penn State at Iowa. Can Iowa bounce back?
You know, didn't really want to say, man, Iowa did not look fancy on offense at all. I like Penn State a little bit better.
Okay. I got Iowa in this one. I think they right the ship. It's a home game. I think they have to right the ship, and it just creates more of a chaos of a Big Ten. So I like that.
Okay. Absolutely. Absolutely. That's what we love.
USC, 11.5-point underdogs at Notre Dame. I think the Irish get it done and get it done easily.
The Irish are they're focused, and they're probably going to try to make a statement. So, yes, I go with Notre Dame.
And the final one I have on our card, John, Michigan State travels to Wisconsin. Can Sparty give Wisconsin anything? Because Northwestern hung in there with Wisconsin for a little bit a couple weeks ago at Madison.
Yeah, I hope Wisconsin, they better kind of, you know what I'm saying, that should be like a raised eyebrow because Sparty will come here and still won. But Wisconsin's a better team, and if they play like it, they'll win. And I got Wisconsin.
Okay, perfect. By the way, John, I've already started my research for the college basketball season, and everything I'm reading right now has Louisville as the team to beat this winter.
Really?
Yeah, the Cardinals. So that'll be interesting to see how they do. Well, obviously, we'll get into that as the season continues to approach. We'll also have our bracketologist, Nick Peterson, joining us once again like last year. Times ahead are there. John, I just turned on my TV, and we've got a little AEW action going on. Your boy Chris Jericho, what was your thoughts on that first episode?
You know what, Brandon, I'll be honest with you, man. You kind of dug it, but kind of didn't dig it. They got a lot of storylines. Obviously, it's the first show, man, so there's a lot of storylines that, you know what I'm saying, if you're kind of like an unfamiliar fan, you're not necessarily privy to just yet. So it kind of looked like a TNA show, right, that was produced by TNT. But it was good to hear Jim Ross's voice again. It was good to hear – I'm going to be honest with you, man. It's good to hear Tony Schiavone's voice again. You know, it's coming through the airwaves. It's good to see – you know what I'm saying, not necessarily overly gimmicky wrestling, which is kind of what the WWE has always been. And I'm not knocking WWE. I like it too. You know what I'm saying? But it's good to kind of see like non-overly gimmicky wrestling to kind of return to the forefront. And okay, honestly, Brandon, I mean, and that's not to shade okay? That's the word for tonight. It's not the shade. Fox's premiere, SmackDown. Like, they kind of pulled out all stops. I don't necessarily like all the finishes and, like, how the, you know what I'm saying, you know, you kind of know my opinion about Brock Lesnar and Kofi Kingston. I get it that everybody knew that he was probably going to have to drop the title, but, like, in 8 seconds? I don't think it was 8 seconds.
No, it was, like, six.
But for the most part, that was the quality book show. That was the show that probably was better than Raw. Quite honestly, Brandon, that SmackDown was probably better than Raw. They had everybody on the show.
Mm-hmm.
From The Rock to Hulk Hogan, they had everybody on the show. But you know, wrestling, professional sports entertainment is back. It's going. It's crazy. YouTube it if you don't have necessarily access to AEW. That's what I do. I YouTube pretty much everything. Watch NWA. NWA is back too, Brandon. NWA, Ring of Honor. I watch all this stuff on YouTube, man. Wrestling is at an all-time high again.
Yeah, I thought it was a great show AEW did put on. I did like kind of the frenzy at the end with everybody coming in. Jack Swagger's back.
Right.
My problem with WWE product. They put a piss-poor pay-per-view together this past weekend. Horrible endings to the matches. Also, you can always get a lot of people to watch your show the very first week on a premiere. And with all the big name attractions like The Rock, I want to see it continuous week in and week out. And here's the problem I have is they are going from a sports entertainment wrestling background now to straight MMA.
Yeah.
There's too much MMA. If we have all our MMA people as champions, there's a problem.
Right. 'Cause they won't kayfabe. They won't drop the title, or they'll act like, you know what I'm saying? Or Vince can't drop the title because he can't make his people look weak.
Yeah, absolutely. A couple things I have for you, John. Pacers, Friday night, first home game. Pacers-Bulls, you going to head to it?
I'll probably watch it on TV.
Uh-oh.
the Bulls are really young, man. The Bulls
by
are
the
really
way,
young.
And your movie, your entertainment.
Really
your entertainment, music, movies, buff guy. I've got a movie for you to watch. I'm sure you've seen it already. I just watched it the other night. Watched it actually on YouTube. It's about an hour and 20 minutes long. It was on YouTube. King Kong, The King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. Have you seen that movie?
King Kong, Fistful of Quarters.
The King of Kong, King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters. Please tell me you've seen it.
I've never seen this.
Okay, so you need to watch this movie.
It's an
older one. It's like a documentary type. But
It's
really good. There's this guy. He should play the Vince McMahon of what he does. Because he was a professional gamer in the 80s. Okay? His name was... I can't even think of his name right now. Give me 1 second. Billy Mitchell. Okay? Billy Mitchell, John, set the world record for the highest Donkey Kong score in history. Okay.
Okay.
So he studied the rhythms and all this stuff to into the game, and he set multiple records for video games. This guy is so Vince McMahon like. John, there was a guy that supposedly beat this record for, I don't want to get into too much, but Donkey Kong, that on his own unit and stuff, that Billy Mitchell and another guy broke into this guy's garage and stole the motherboard from the game.
Wow.
And destroyed it. This dude is the Vince McMahon of gaming. King of Kong, Fistful of Quarters, you would actually like it because you're a big 80s guy. You're a big video games type from that day.
Absolutely.
You would love this movie. Look it up. King of Kong.
I'm going to check it out.
Fistful of Quarters. That's on YouTube. So what else do you have, my man? Do you have anything you want to end on?
I just got a couple quick hitters, man. Calvert Cheney just showed up. No, he didn't just show up, but Calvert Cheney was invited back to IU this past weekend for Hoosier Hysteria. I think that's what they call Midnight Madness now. I don't know why, but that's what they call Hoosier Hysteria. And like, he showed up and represented the university very well, to the point, like, from a fan standpoint, like, you like, damn, man. He was there in praise of Archie Miller and went in the program direction. But, like, you, like, from a fan standpoint, hey, man, when they going to put you as the head coach, man? You're like, shit, that's what I wanted to know. You know what I mean? But Cavachini is kind of like, you know what I'm saying, a guy I kind of watch and admire. I'll just be honest with you, as a player when I was a youth. And he played for IU. Hell, IU's all-time leading scorer. And for him to come back to university and say nothing but good things about the university kind of gives me hope, even though, you know what I'm saying, saying good things and hope is one thing. And for the team that Arthur Miller has kind of got coached to be coached in front of him and put out there for Big Ten plays another, you know, especially when, hell, national media got IU coming in 10th this year. Of course, all the IU guys say, you know what I'm saying, there's no way they finish 10th, but – but hell,
I got
you know,
11.
Like I said, man. Whoo, man! Listen, there's no way. Calvert said it ain't gonna happen. Well, he didn't say that particularly, but it's not gonna happen, man. But like I said, man, it was good to see Calvert Chaney back around Bloomington. He's headed to the national. He's already in Indiana Basketball Hall of Fame, but now he's getting inducted to another Hall of Fame, man. I think I shared some of the video of it on the Crossroads Facebook site, man. For those fans who want to check it out, I say, I'm saying, listen, if you're a fan of a good college basketball story, definitely check out Cavachini and his efforts to make IU relevant again.
Yeah, absolutely. That was it was pretty good. I'll give you the round of applause for that. Now I don't know if I have, and John, I'm just going to play this soundbite because I know you're going to want to talk about it at length. But this soundbite here should explain a lot of it, and the floor is going to be yours after the soundbite is over. That cash register sound in California right now for these college athletes that are about to get paid. John, the California law that's went into effect where athletes are not going to get paid for their likeness, for the jersey sales, and all of this. Your thoughts, sir?
They try to spin it like the NCAA was exploitive, and like now it looks like no, the NCAA wasn't exploitive. They just didn't want to necessarily share. So like now everybody wants a piece, and everybody's gonna be able to get a piece, man. Be careful what you wish for with some of this, because like now if a kid's gonna make $60,000 off his distinctive likeness, does he really care about getting to the freaking Final Four anymore?
Yeah,
what does this do to the schools? Right. The schools now, Kansas and Duke, it puts power in the blue chippers. But you know, it's something that we should all be like people, whoever about it, you know, what I'm saying, banged on the door and said it was exploitive. You know what I'm saying? Now you're going to see what exploitation really is, man, because, like, now there's going to be anybody, like, that's going to try to, you know what I'm saying, hitch their wagon to a kid that can dunk a basketball, you know?
Is that what UCLA did to get them back on the right shape? Because now they may get all the recruits they want because, hey, we can pay you, unlike these other schools right now, because they don't have a law.
Well, right now, this is legit. Like, man, listen. There's no way this is already set in motion, man. North Carolina is already setting similar, you know what I'm saying, ratification in the motion. From a standpoint, they can't afford, it becomes political, which I don't want to, you know what I mean, I don't want to delve into, but they can't afford for Duke and North Carolina, the entire ACC to become irrelevant. They can't. So, you know what I'm saying, they're gonna kind of, I mean, change is inevitable, and it's kind of time for it. I could never foresee a Duke writing a check to a kid outright to his family for $100,000. That's why there's always been like other, you know, same things when you talk about USC and when they bought Reggie Bush a house or whatever. There's other things that have the kids are funneled money. You know what I mean? But like now it's gonna be all in the open. It's gonna be all legit or whatever. But again, I caution: be careful what you wish for, man, because you just might get it, and it just might not be necessarily what you want from a fan standpoint. Now you're gonna question. You potentially might want to question: why is the kid playing hard? Why should he play hard? He got what he got. He makes more money than you sitting on. You know what I mean? Me and you sitting on our couch. He's just waiting to get his millions. He's waiting for the season to be over to get his million, right? So, you know, I mean, that's going to be some of these kids. I'll be honest with you. That's going to be some of these kids' process, thought process.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay. Are you ready to issue a public apology to T.J. Warren?
Why am I apologizing?
Because all that bad stuff during the summer, you're talking about T.J. Warren. That's what they got, T.J. Warren. Come on now. He put up 30 in the first game.
That dude was unconscious, man. Unconscious, man. I mean, I ain't going to tell you no crow, but he's going to be a younger version of Thad Young. That's good, and that's good. We got a younger version of Thad Young. That's good. And while Victor Oladipo's on the sideline, this guy's ready to take – but you know what I'm saying, make shots. I didn't say take shots. I said make shots, and that's the difference.
Okay. What you got?
The only other thing I got is who is basketball crazy like me and you know what I'm saying, kind of goes mirrors the conversation we had about the NCAA playing guys. R.J. Hampton is a guy I kind of became infatuated over the last couple of weeks or so, Brandon. He's a kid who kind of forego, you know what I'm saying, the normal route of going to college. And I mean, but he's like, you know what I'm saying, USA Basketball already had him out trying out. You know what I'm saying, you know, everybody, their mama then recruited him, and he didn't want to go the normal, you know what I'm saying, route, one and done or whatever, right? So he kind of made himself he's a YouTube, I won't say, he is a YouTube sensation, and he's kind of braggadocious, kind of like, you know what I'm saying, like Ball is, but they kind of did everything the right way. And they went to the, you know what I'm saying, him and his father is his trainer, right? He plays for the new Australian team, it's a pro team, but, you know, hell, they played Memphis the other night and got blowed out. But he's a kid that if until whatever is supposed to happen, as far as the G League guys, getting kind of picked, so you don't have to wait till you're 21 or 20 or 19 or however you go, you have to be to play in the NBA. Well, once you 1 year removed from college or 1 year removed from your senior year, right? I think that's the rule is now. Whenever that rule is supposed to take place, even with kids getting paid, like, this is the route you should – my personal opinion, this is the route you should take to try to make a name for yourself rather than embarrass the NBA like LeVar Ball has tried to do, either in hyperbole or if he's serious or not, you know what I'm saying, rather than trying to embarrass – you know what I'm saying? Here's what I'm trying to say, Brandon. There's a lot of hype with this kid. His name is R.J. Hampton. He's about 6'4", kind of reminds you between somewhere between Dante Exum and Ray Allen. I know he's like, damn, that's a big bridge, but yeah, that's where his skill set is, man. Kind of combo guard, but he's got a nice little shot on him, right? Mm-hmm. And like coming into this year, he's probably gonna be a top 10 pick. Well, instead of like you know what I'm saying coming out and lambasting like what you know the Lakers need me and the league needs me. You know what I'm saying? Him and his dad just, you know, got a real world style camera. They follow him around and like they post their YouTube out. And like I said, you know, it's kind of entertaining to me. Whether he turns out to be the next Kobe Bryant or not remains to be seen, man. But it's kind of like it's kind of a cool little route. And I implore anybody who's kind of kooky like me when it comes to like, you know what I'm saying, they emerge the next guy of basketball. Check him out, R.J. Hampton. That's all I got for tonight, Brandon. We had a pretty good show. I'm ecstatic.
Yeah, it was a great show this evening. Dodgers are up 1-0 here in the first inning against the Nationals. Already a score. Also, let's see, what else we got?
I know.
Are you enjoying the baseball playoffs?
I mean, there's no way you can't, man. I didn't want to chime in like act like I know what I'm talking about. I think Verlander bounces back. I think there's no way his skill set and, you know what I'm saying, his personal pride, I know, you know what I'm saying, he's probably a little weary, you know what I'm saying, in between games or whatever. He said he's not, but I think he bounces back.
Okay. Yep, I think he does as well. All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for listening tonight. We had a great show this evening. Kind of short, but you know, we're in the prime time, so we want everybody to watch AEW, watch the baseball playoffs, spend time with your fam.
Yep.
We may do a Facebook live show this week. Who knows? It's already Wednesday, so if not, we'll get you guys back on next week. But everybody, thanks for listening. Make sure, please subscribe, like, and share Crossroads on iTunes. It's also on the Facebook page. If you're a troll, you can call in.
Uh-oh.
We'll just hit the dump button on you. We're fine with that. By the way, I would be remiss for my Crossroads family. There is something, I can't go into too much detail, but there is something in the works that I possibly could be doing, and it could be doing some good for Crossroads, but it's on the sports gambling side of things, with writing articles and talking about it and cross-promoting Crossroads and something else. So more to come possibly on that, but stay tuned. Something really exciting that just came up recently, so more to come on that. I'm really, really looking forward to it. John, go ahead. Give us the last thing.
All I got, man, Suns Mystics tomorrow, game five, man. There's no reason why you shouldn't watch the game five finals, championships on the line. You know, it'll be on. I'll watch it intently. Other than that, man, thanks everybody for listening.
See ya.
Crossroads Sports.